everyone. My name is Dr. Mark A. Hicks, and this is Life Strategies. This is a show where we deal with the problems of life. Life is difficult and has many challenges, and we know that we cannot solve every problem, but we can make life better if we have the right strategies. And I'm here to help you do that. Today, I want to talk about a topic that we all face, and that is dealing with conflict. Conflict is part of our life on a small scale and on a large scale. And so today I want to talk about this very difficult issue of conflict and some ways that we can deal with it. We can't avoid it completely. We cannot solve every conflict in the world. But we can bring some strategies into our life that will help us deal with the conflicts that we find ourselves engaged in. First of all, I want to talk about why we have conflicts. It would seem that we would simply look at the evidence, if we're rational people. If we are intelligent, rational people, that we would all simply look at the evidence, that we would all simply look at the facts, and then we would come to a common agreement based on the evidence. But clearly that doesn't happen. Clearly people see things in different ways and end up arguing from their own perspective, becoming angry with each other at times, and even to a point where the relationship can be destroyed because of our particular perspectives. Now, why would that happen? If we have evidence, if we are sharing information, even in the midst of our argument, if we are making arguments, if we are giving evidence and showing viewpoints, why would it escalate to the place of even destroying relationships and doing horrible things to each other sometimes because of these conflicts? Well, there is a reason for that. Our brains are very complex things, and one of the primary functions of our brain is to protect us. There are areas of the brain that become stimulated when we feel threatened. There are areas of the brain that become active when we feel threatened. When someone physically assaults us, an area of our brain is stimulated and we react. We react with fear, with anger, with defensiveness. We either fight back or we run away because someone has physically attacked us, and our brains react to that physical attack in order to protect us. But there's been some very interesting scientific studies that have shown that when we are challenged in an area of deeply held opinion, when a belief system or an opinion of ours that is deeply held is attacked or challenged, the same area of the brain is activated. See, our brains are not there just to protect our physical bodies. Our brains are there to protect our whole person, including our identity of who we are. And so when we hold an opinion very strongly, whether this is a political opinion or an allegiance to a particular religion or an idea of what family should mean or an idea of our relationships, when we hold these deep opinions and belief systems, they become part of our identity of who we are. And when those get challenged, the same area of the brain is stimulated as if we were under physical attack. This makes a lot of sense when we look at how people react when we challenge them. You've probably had an occasion where someone was clearly wrong. It was obvious they were wrong, but they held to that opinion very strongly. And you had all the evidence to show that they were wrong. And you may have told them in a kind way, in a gentle way, not being cruel to them, just letting them know the evidence of how they were wrong. And they may have reacted very defensively, with a great deal of anger. They may have wanted to come after you and fight you, either in a verbal way or maybe even a physical way, or they stormed out just to get away from what you were saying. This happens because when our identity is challenged, that's as big a threat as our physical bodies being attacked. Our brains react in a similar way. Isn't that a fascinating thing? And doesn't that explain so many things about the conflicts that we have? That people get very irrational, very angry and fearful and defensive because the brain says we cannot give up our identity any more than we can allow our physical bodies to be harmed. And so the brain is geared to defend that. And so we need some strategies to put in place to help us deal with the conflicts that we find ourselves in, whether it be with family or friends or coworkers or anyone else. And so I'm going to give you three strategies that can help you deal with conflict. The first strategy is to understand people have the right to be wrong. It is part of being human to be mistaken. None of us are right all the time. All of us are wrong sometimes. All of us are mistaken sometimes, and that's okay. It's part of the human experience to be wrong. And so sometimes we just need to let people be wrong. We don't have to correct everyone every time. Even if the evidence is on our side, even if we have every rational argument, if it's going to cause a conflict, sometimes it's just not important enough to get in an argument over. Sometimes the relationship might be more important than the opinions. Sometimes we just can avoid the conflict by understanding we're all wrong sometimes. Sometimes we're all mistaken. That's part of the human experience. People have the right to be wrong. And so the first step of dealing with conflict is sometimes to avoid it completely by just letting those people be wrong and knowing that in many cases, that's okay. They can just be wrong. There are some things, obviously, however, that need to be corrected. There are some things that become destructive. There are some things that become harmful, and we have to talk with this person about their opinions and about their behaviors or whatever it might be that are clearly destructive. We can't just let them be wrong. This is causing problems to the place. We need to deal with it. And so on those occasions, when we need to talk to a person about their mistake, there's a temptation to just get all of our evidence together, get all of our rational arguments together, and present our argument. Give them all the evidence of how they're wrong. Give all our rational, logical appeals for how they're wrong, and to simply show them how wrong they are. Remember, these things are just going to stimulate that person's brain as if they are under attack. And so launching into your rational arguments, launching into all your evidence is going to trigger a response in that person's brain that they are under attack. So it just doesn't work. It just leads to conflict. And so what do we do when we really do need to talk to this person about their mistake and show them they're wrong? The second strategy is to start with common ground. In the area in which you're discussing, try to find some common ground to begin the discussion. There's usually some place you can begin where there is a measure of agreement. Begin there. Start talking to that person about the common ground you have on that particular issue. Or talk until you can find it. Find the area in which you can agree and begin the discussion there. Now that takes longer. It takes a lot more patience. it would seem much more effective just to throw all your evidence to that person, but it's not effective. If you really want to resolve this, if you really want to deal with this conflict, then start with common ground. Now, if you're not willing to have that kind of conversation, then you may need to go back to the first strategy and just let them be wrong, because bombarding them with evidence is not going to work in most cases. If you think it's important enough to have that discussion, then it's important enough to do it right. And to do it right, we need to start in an area where there is commonality, to kind of build trust in that area so that everyone knows we're not attacking each other, we're just discussing. The third strategy is to be willing to change your own mind. Remember, it's easy to look at that person and say, well, they're just being defensive. They're just being stubborn. But we all have that same reaction in our brains. And so if we're going to have these discussions, we're going to start feeling defensive sometimes. We're going to start feeling angry sometimes because people are going to be saying things to us that we don't like, challenging our deeply held opinions. And in those moments, we need to be willing to look at our own opinions. That can be very difficult. If it's important enough to engage with this person, and it's important enough to deal with this disagreement, then it needs to be important enough to change our own mind as well as expecting them to change their mind. It becomes an idea of setting the example in the relationship, because we're all wrong sometimes. No one is 100% right all the time. And so if there's ways that we can make concessions, drop our defenses, and to realize that it's okay to discuss a deeply held opinion, doesn't mean we have to change our mind all the time. It just means that we're willing to discuss it. And if we find evidence that we might be wrong, be willing to change our mind, at least a little. If we do that, it helps the other person to do the same. And so it's much more fun to just correct someone and give them all the evidence. But that's not going to work in most cases. We need to just let them be wrong. But if we can't do that, if it's important enough to engage in a discussion, then we need to find some common ground first. And as we branch out from that common ground to discuss areas of disagreement, we need to allow our deeply held opinions to be challenged as well. Doesn't mean we always have to change our mind, but sometimes we may need to be willing to. We may need to see other viewpoints and see other ways of thinking. If we're going to expect that of other people, we need to be able to do that ourselves. And so if you'll put these things in place, understanding how our brains work, that we are going to have a reaction when someone tries to correct us, and they're going to have a reaction when we try to correct them that is just like being under physical attack, then sometimes we may just need to let people be wrong. But if the issue is important enough to discuss, start with common ground, and then finally, be willing to set the example of having your own opinions challenged. Maybe not change your mind, but at least let them be challenged. Or perhaps accept evidence that's presented to you and set the example that, yeah, I'm not perfect. I can change my mind too. You put these strategies in place, it's going to help you deal with the conflicts of your life. Thank you so much for listening. I want you to know that you can find this and other Color Radio programs by going to radiocolor.cz. Or I invite you to check out my website at markahicks.com. Or for those of you that are open to a more spiritual conversation, you can find me at the English-speaking United Methodist Church of Prague. Go to esumc.cz. My name is Dr. Mark A. Hicks, and this is Life Strategies. Life is difficult, but it is better when we have the right strategies. Take care, everyone.